Well, welcome back again. This episode really won't get much of an introduction at all. It's just something that's been rattling around in my head for quite a while, and so I finally put it down on paper. Let's get started. He wasn't a bad man, just misunderstood. Everyone in town shunned him, so really, he never had a chance. But honestly, he was not a bad man. This week's episode, The Patriot. When my buddies and I were 7 years old, we played kickball on a street in front of his house. Dodging, shouting, kicking our raggedy-ass ball like we were World Cup stars. One chilly Saturday morning, Bobby really got his leg into it and sailed it over our heads. It bounced in his yard and tangled in his bushes. We just stood there next to the fire hydrant, staring at it. I finally worked up the guts and go get it. "Hey, Dummkopf, get your hiney off my yard, you little yunga," old man Schmidt bolted from his front door, his mouth a slurry of tobacco spit. He beat his cane on the porch railing. A few weeks after my 12th birthday, I was walking home from school one afternoon. I saw old man Schmidt struggling to walk out and get his mail. I cautiously approached. Sure, I'd get another, "Hey, Dummkopf, butt chewins." I'm not sure why, but I held out my hand. And no, I wasn't working on another Boy Scout merit badge. I just did it. Old man Schmidt, as wary of me as I was of him, did a double take. Then he reached out, and he took my hand. Together, we hobbled to his mailbox. "Thanks, Kit," he said. "Name's Schmidt. Carl Schmidt." "Billy," I said. "Billy Greenberg." "Well, thank you, Billy Greenberg," he said when he got back to his porch. As I turned to leave, he sort of mumbled, just loud enough for me to hear, Sorry I yelled at you and your little friends all these years." As he pulled his screen door to go back inside, he turned around and looked at me. "You can call me Carl." It became our little routine. Every afternoon after school, he sat on his porch and waited for me. Hand in hand, we shuffled to his mailbox. We became friends the way that 12-year-old boys and old men sometimes do. Well, the lucky ones anyway. We'd sit on his porch and he'd give me a Pepsi. Sometimes a couple of stale cookies. "Shiva's my wife, Frida," he said one afternoon as he handed me a photograph, faded and full of creases. "She died in the old country." I saw the tears in his eyes. He didn't even try to wipe them away. "When those bombers, when they fly over." The next day, Carl had a tin box on his lap. He rifled through it and pulled out a gold lapel pin. He told me that the inscription above the swastika meant Hitler Youth. "I was about your age when our village commandant forced all of us boys to join up. I want you to have it, Billy Greenberg." I closed my hand around it and took it home. I hid it under the socks in my dresser drawer. That winter, Carl started stumbling pretty bad. He fell twice, so he stopped going outside. He was crying at his kitchen table the afternoon I brought his mail in. I called the doctor, Billy. When the nurse heard my name, she snapped at me. She said the doctor's appointment schedule was booked for months. It was dark the night that I got home from football practice. Dad stopped me on the front porch. He didn't want Mom to hear us. In his hand, he was holding Carl's Hitler Youth pin. "Where the hell did you get this, Billy?" "Mr. Schmidt gave it to me." Oh, I was pissed. "What the hell you doing digging through my stuff?" I stared down at my father. I was already taller than him. "Bastard." That's all he said. Bastard. He threw it down and walked in the house. 3 days later, the police found Carl, dead in his bedroom. gunshot wound in the back of his head. The investigation was a farce. County coroner said it was suicide. Suicide? Come on, Carl never owned a gun. He told me he hated guns. No weapon was ever found. And nobody cared. After Carl committed suicide, Dad started spending a lot more time with his buddies up at the beer joint. He and Mom argued every night when he stumbled in drunk. Last Saturday morning, after he slept it off, he stormed out before Mom and I got up. I heard his pickup leave. The sheriff found his truck, flipped over in the ditch, way out on Catashan Road. Said he must have been doing at least 60.